My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good Monday afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny, September 16th, 2024, a victory Monday. They are rare around these parts, so enjoy them when you've got them. It's a victory Monday on GND. We got a great show planned for you today. Jay Gruden stops by at 5 o'clock. We're excited about that. We've got a major Commanders-related show announcement. 3 o'clock coming up in 1 hour. Make sure you are listening at that time on Grant and Danny. Ahead of the Beltway Blitz today at 4, we're going to be giving away tickets to the HF Festival, which is this coming weekend at Nats Park. And ahead of hearing Dan Quinn's press conference today, which is at 6 right here on GND, we've got tickets to the Caps 50 Fest starring Third Eye Blind. So we will be very, very busy. Danny, something looks different about you.
What's that?
Looks like your football team may have gotten a rare win.
Well, what were you doing 370 days ago? That's my question. That's the last time this team won a football game at home. 370 days. That's more than a calendar year if you're scoring at home. September 10th against the Arizona Cardinals. Shout out Ben Raby when they last won a home game.
Are we doing that? The last time, dot, dot, dot?
Yeah.
First win since November 5th.
There we go.
So that's not just a home win.
That's anyone.
316 days since your football team won a football game. The 8-game losing streak that spanned an offseason is over. They had not beaten the Giants since 2022. They'd lost three straight. There was a tie in there. 0-3-1 over four games. They finally knocked them off. They hadn't won a divisional game in over a football season. You got to go back to 2022 as well. But they begin this year 1-0 in the NFC East, 1-0 against the Giants. And to your point, Danny, their first home win since week one against the Arizona Cardinals a calendar year plus ago. Just four home wins in the last 1,022 days. So think about that.
Yeah.
If you spend a lot of money going out to Northwest Stadium, if you spend your time in Landover, Maryland, tailgating, flipping burgers, walking in, hoping to see winning football, over 1,000 days have passed, you've seen four wins. So while I am a process over results guy, Danny Hoohey, I got to tell you, man, enjoy this one.
It feels nice. This is an eye of the beholder situation. This is a half full, half empty. Whatever you think, you probably saw. Like, if you're a glass half full person, you go, they went to the red zone 5 times. They had scoring drives. Every time they tried to drive the football, they got first downs and marched down the field and were in scoring position. You saw some good things. Jaden Daniels through 2 games doesn't have a turnover. He's looked the best of any rookie quarterback, and I have a little Twitter thread going at Funny Danny on what's contextualized with the rest of the league. You saw some good stuff here, some in-breaking routes. You saw some down-the-field action a little bit, which you haven't seen through 1.5 games. That's positive. On the negative side, you probably don't win the game if Graham Gano doesn't hurt himself in the opening kickoff. You probably don't win the game if Blake Neighbors, who you couldn't cover, and you still didn't cover him, on the ball that he dropped on fourth down to give you the football back for a chance to go win it, you probably don't win if he doesn't drop the football. So whatever you want to see, you probably saw in this one, but I will take this result. It just sort of means that the rest of this is worth pursuing to me. And what I mean is, had you lost to the Giants, had they marched down the field and scored on you and you wouldn't have been able to mount a comeback and they had won, you'd lost this deflating home opener against a team that I think is going to be terrible. It's really hard to have any kind of serious football conversation. I think we get to have it. They won. I know the process isn't perfect, but I'm seeing growth. I see some improvement. It's exciting. I'm happy they won the game.
Yeah, and the process is not supposed to be perfect, or it shouldn't be expected to be when you're in your second game with a new front office and a new head coach and a rookie quarterback who is doing everything for the first time. So I think it's unrealistic if anybody thought that this was going to look really good. Now, not looking terrible is very, very different. And I think that's a reasonable expectation. And coming off of week one, where mostly all three phases were legitimately bad, I think to ask for more against a pretty mediocre to weak opponent wasn't asking for a lot. And they cleared that bar clearly. And they got a win. And it is a feel-good victory Monday. But what I would say to your eye of the beholder take, welcome to the NFL. Every game is that way almost. There's the occasional clunker like the Tampa Bay Week 1 performance for Washington by bad teams or the occasional blowout win by really good teams. The Saints have scored almost 50 points twice early this season, right? But 11 of 14 games played yesterday were decided by a possession. So you're going to be able to go back and go, if these couple plays go differently, my team wins. If these couple plays weren't made, maybe we wouldn't have lost. And that's just the league, generally speaking. But going through some of the really positive, I thought, from yesterday, rapid fire. Jaden Daniels has played 8 quarters of football. He's played 4 halves. I thought his best half was the second half against the Giants, and I didn't think it was particularly close.
Agreed.
The first game against the Bucs, which we talked about almost all week long, and then the first half against the Giants, I thought looked kind of similar. Which is to say, he very quickly left the pocket and kind of got on the move and didn't really let things develop, wasn't looking to throw the football or engage his receivers in the passing game as much. I thought in the second half, he was marvelous against the Giants. And that's what you're looking for. That's what you want to see from Jaden Daniels. The numbers, 12 of 16 for a 139 after halftime. Do you agree it was a very different looking Jaden Daniels after intermission?
100%. So the thing we saw, and I'll tag you back in, is it looked like the Giants went, okay, if this is all you guys are going to do, is Jaden Daniels takes a snap and throws it exactly horizontally to either Zacchaeus or McLaurin or somebody in between, or is checking it down to a running back, we're going to force you to do something different. The middle of the field opened up. You saw a pretty good shot to Noah Brown. You saw Zach Ertz on an in-breaking route in traffic, tightly contested. Good throw, good catch, good everything. So there are a couple other moments, too, where I'm not saying you're hitting home runs. That's right now seems to be reserved for the Saints and I guess Sam Darnold and Justin Jefferson. Over-the-top shots are harder to come by, it seems like, in the league right now, which we'll get into, I'm sure. But to me, this was the most NFL-looking passing that we've seen both from Kingsbury in this offense and from Daniels.
Yeah, it was. That's what I would say it was. It just looked like a legitimate NFL passing offense.
Yep.
He had the 20-yard completion to Ertz where he was wide open. He had a 21-yarder that he kind of lobbed in as he got hit that almost got picked off. That was a 50-50 ball that Ertz caught. Those were the two completions well beyond 10-plus yards in the game. And the two times this season, really, they've been able to push the ball down the field. He had a great throw on the in-breaker, the little dig to Noah Brown. He was wide open, but he threw an arrow to him on the final drive of the game with a catch and run that I thought was, again, that's NFL conceptual stuff. That's just what you want to see more of. But I thought he looked like a passer who had the ability to run rather than a runner
yep.
who will occasionally pass for the first time in 4 halves in the second half of the game. And I thought it was part of the reason why, frankly, they got their offense going. You know, his philosophical shift or whatever led to him deciding to stand in the pocket and let the passing game get going, I thought it worked really well. The running game was outstanding. And this is a credit to Jaden Daniels. This goes back to 2012 when we saw defenses have to defend Washington 11-on-11.
Mm-hmm.
This is a credit to Cliff Kingsbury because one of the benefits to everyone screaming about Jaden Daniels on designed runs and how often he's run the football is that defenses are petrified that he's going to keep the rock. And what you get is a career day from Brian Robinson and Austin Ekeler shining. Both of those guys, I thought, were exceptional, specifically Robinson on the ground.
It looked like it reminds me of Alfred Morris in this one respect. When he gets a head full of steam, it's now we're going forward for another 3 or 4 yards, right? If you allow Derrick Henry, and I'm not putting Robinson necessarily in that class. No one's as physical as that guy. But it's on that spectrum where he's big and strong, and if he gets a head full of steam and is able to kind of get his shoulders square-headed upfield, you're now looking at 7 yards. Whereas if you make him pitter-patter and tap his feet and start and stop, you know, you could tackle him like anybody else. But when he gets a head full of steam, credit to the offensive line, I think credit to, as you said, to Kingsbury for some of the design to kind of get him moving, that was pretty damn impressive. His long, of course, was on a play that was a kind of like everybody's all bunched up and everyone thought he was down and he kind of bounced around and took off for that 40 yards. Bit fluky, but he deserves credit for keeping his feet churning. But like that physicality that he ran with was pretty damn impressive. And when it works, it looks great.
He's tough to tackle.
Yeah.
He had not had a single run of 30 yards in his career in his first 28 games before yesterday. He had 2 30-plus-yard carries yesterday, including the career long from 40. Career high, 133 yards on 17 attempts. It was his 13th career game with 17 or more rushes. I thought they had the emergence of a number two wide receiver yesterday. His first time on the field, Noah Brown showed more to me in terms of the ability to separate at the top of the route, kind of the suddenness that he's got at the top of the route on both of the catches he made. The one he made, this diving catch radius grab where it was an 80-mile-an-hour fastball that was kind of offline from Jaden, and he made this really athletic, acrobatic play. The next one was the beautifully thrown perfect ball when he won inside on the final drive to set up the game-winning field goal. But you can't tell me that just based on 3 targets, 3 catches, this performance for Noah Brown, that you don't feel like they're in a better spot at that number two receiver than they would have been if they didn't bring him in. And you're still wondering, is it Zacchaeus? Is it Diami? Is it going to be, you know, Jamison Crowder? This guy's better than those guys.
Yeah, without question. I mean, to me, the most impressive route he had over the course of the day was a play that Daniels was pressured. I think he was sacked on the play, but that little stutter go where the defender, his jock straps in section 412, that was filthy.
Yeah, he hit him with a double move on the sideline. It was the first half. Would have been the bottom of the TV screen, kind of going left to right for people that don't remember the play.
And yeah, it looked like your standard, I'm running 12 yards, turn around, you know, timing, let's hope for the ball. And that little, whatever the hitch, he sold it and was gone. If, you know, there's blocking or if it's a different situation, that's an easy walk-in touchdown. But he's explosive. You said it right. The suddenness, how big he is, the physicality of it, the burst that he has, that's their second best receiver. And, you know, he was dangerous yesterday.
Their kicking game problems for right now are gone. I'm not ready, like everybody else seems to be, to just put in Sharpie that they have solved the kicking dilemma and that Austin Seibert is the long-term answer. I am ready to crown him king of the day. I am ready to tell him congratulations on winning the NFC Special Teams Player of the Week award and for setting the franchise record with 7 field goals and for being one of 9 kickers in league history who's ever made 7 field goals in a game. But they were all chip shots. His long was of 45. All of the other kicks were from extra point distance and in.
Yeah.
So my point is not to say that that's not an accomplishment, because anything could go wrong around these parts.
We've seen it.
We know it can. A snap can be bad. A hold can be bad. You know, there could be a procedural issue, and you had a re-kick, and now you're out of whack. 7 for 7, no matter what the distance is a win. It's a big deal. But I think 2 things can be true. One, he had a great game, and I'm very happy for Austin Seibert. It's a funny league. 1 week ago, the story is they don't have a kicker. They were 0-for-2. This week, the guy comes in and goes 7-for-7. But I'm going to reserve some judgment before I break out my pen to put him down on the depth chart for the remainder of 2024.
So we're going to talk about this a bunch when it comes to the rest of the league and passers, but it's, again, context matters so much. The rest of the league, it's now just mundane 56 yards, wind here, there, and everywhere. You know, 58, 59 yards, just a normal thing. Not his fault he wasn't asked to do that yesterday. All he did was make every kick he was presented. Let's see what we're talking about in a couple weeks when he's got to make that 52-yarder or, you know, the opposite hash mark that he likes on a clutch moment from 48 or 49 with the wind doing some weird stuff at some kind of road stadium. TBD on that, but all you can do is what's in front of you, and he crushed it yesterday. Deserved the game ball. That was really cool.
I was texting with a buddy. Mark Mosley was the MVP of the league, which, by the way, in and of itself, again, is just so hilarious. And I love Mark Mosley. He gave me five guys.
He invented five guys.
But he was the MVP of the league in the early 80s. His long that year was 48. He never attempted a 50-plus yard field goal. 10 years ago, in 2014, the longest field goal of the season that was made was Neil Rackers. Do you remember Rackers?
Arizona.
Yeah, forever. From the Cardinals. Yeah. He used to kick bombs. He had like the biggest leg. It was a 55-yard field goal. There was one of those all season. If you were making 52 and 53-yard field goals 10 years ago, you were the dude, right? Now, the kicker for the Cowboys, Brandon Aubrey, lined up for a 71-yarder, and everyone's going, he's got a chance to
make
it.
He's got a shot. In warm-ups, he was hitting from 72.
It might actually happen. Like, there has been no bigger change in the game, in my opinion, over a decade. You and I are, it's weird to be old enough to kind of see something change this dramatically.
Yeah.
But from when I was a kid, and if beyond 45, you were taking your risks. Now, if it's 56 or in, you should be hitting that at like a 75-80% clip. And last night, again, Kaimi Fairbairn and Cairo Santos in the Sunday night game with the Texans and the Bears. Everybody does. Nobody misses from 50 to 55. It is nuts, to your point. But I digress. Benjamin St. Juste, I thought, was really good. Strong outing. Huge play from him on the punch fumble, but also three PBUs. He had a big-time play in man coverage against Malik Nabers late in the game, who ate their lunch. How good is Malik Nabers?
It's pretty good. They still haven't covered him. I'll let you know when they do. It may be in the next matchup. It wasn't in this one. That guy, they moved him from the right side, left side. He got the pick on everybody.
Oh, his spray chart was just sensual.
Just Juan Soto in a groove.
Both sides of the field, running every route. He is going to be incredible.
Star.
And I don't want to knock Terry McLaurin or start the day being negative on Terry, but Terry doesn't have that. Like, this guy is a rookie. He was a top 10 pick, but I don't think anybody's ranking him in the top 15 or so in the league right now. Now, my opinion is he'll go for 1,000, and I said before the season, I think he will be one of the top 10 to 12 receivers maybe in football when it's all set and done, but it's a second straight week where you're watching Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and now Malik Nabers. And I'm kind of going, where's Terry stack up against these guys? He's a good player. I like Terry McLaurin. He's one of my favorite Commanders and Redskins and Washington footballers and whatever other team I need to say in history. I mean, as a dude. But whatever Malik Nabers has, that is not the same skill set that Terry McLaurin does. He doesn't have that burst, that wiggle. He's not as hard to cover. He doesn't separate from people the same way. Like, they got one of the studs. We don't have one of those guys.
Yeah, and I'm with you in the sense that I don't love like piling on or picking on. I mean, the last couple of years, his early season has not been very good. Last year, we thought it was a foot thing. This year, you know, who knows if it's the new offense, an adjustment, defenses are keying on him. I have no idea. I know this. You're going to have to start adding names to the list of guys that are going to be above him in terms of like the pecking order, wide receiver rankings league-wide.
There was a point where the consensus was like he's a top 15-ish guy. I haven't done the rankings in a while, but there's no way you would do that. Like today, if you're making a list, I went through, banged out six condensed games between last night and this morning, watched every play of six games condensed. And guys like Jameson Williams or Amon-Ra St. Brown with the Lions, like there's another gear there that they have. Mm-hmm. They can do things that Washington doesn't have anybody that can do that.
Or if you look at a Nico Collins, who moves pretty damn well, obviously, but he's so big, just so damn physical that, like, you know, guys are uncovered simply because they bounce off him. Or a Davante Adams, who's a similar size, who's, you know, looks like a point guard crossing you up in the open court when he's making his moves and making these incredible catches on the sidelines or in breaking routes or otherwise. So, I don't know, man. It's one of those things where, again, I hate to keep bringing this up, but that receiver room, man, in retrospect, even in foresight, you're looking at it going, did they do enough? Is there enough? Is there enough? Is there enough? Now, with potentially this development where you'd say, maybe McLaurin isn't as much of a star as we thought, it leads to questions, is all I'm saying.
Cliff Kingsbury, I thought, was terrific. The center screen to Austin Ekeler in the first half was tremendous. He threw a throwback screen. It was almost like the old tight end leak play.
That Shanahan play, yeah.
To Austin Ekeler, where everyone's headed right. He dumps it back to the left, got inside the 5-yard line
really nice.
That way. Almost a touchdown. I thought Kingsbury had a really good plan. They also RPO heavy at the beginning of the game. Now, I have issues with his scheme generally and like how he does things pre-snap. But I thought from a game calling, play calling standpoint, he hit them at the perfect time with a couple really good calls. I think he did some things to make life easier in the beginning of the game for Jaden Daniels as well. So overall, I thought it was really good there. But it was an immensely flawed performance. There's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
If you were looking for like style points, you did not get those. I don't think you need to when your team hasn't won at home since week one last year and hasn't beaten this team in a couple of seasons and just generally does not find ways to win this game. But if your takeaway today is if they had Graham Gano and he didn't get hurt on the opening kickoff, they probably lose the game. I think that's probably true.
Yeah.
Now, they had to go for a fourth down, maybe 3 or 4 yards they needed on the neighbor's drop, or else maybe they win the game. But you got to take advantage of the breaks. And Daniels and the offense went out on the field, and he was laughing, according to what Alameda Zacchaeus told me after the game in the locker room. He had the demeanor of being really calm, made the big throw to Brown. They got down the field, had a big scramble, kind of a design, I guess should say designed run, and set up a chippy for the game winner. But another thing I would point out is the defense again, specifically in the first half, but really just generally, ultra disappointing. Their first 11 drives of the season, they gave up 6 touchdowns and points on 9 of them. And in this game, they could not stop the run at all. Like, how many times did the Giants run that same straight-ahead dive by Devin Singletary where it seemed like Allen, Payne, Mathis, whoever else was supposed to have been anchoring, wasn't able to?
It felt like whenever they wanted to, they could go back to that play. I mean, this was such an interesting thing. I think this defense is so porous that they decide, we're going to try to take away maybe one thing or make one thing slightly more challenging. And if you find some of the things we're not worried about or not covering, you can exploit it for the indefinite part of the game. AKA, this one was Singletary just gashing them at various points. Deep into the secondary, safeties, linebackers chasing him from behind are the only people that could bring him down after 8, 9, 10, 15 yards at a time. And they seem content with that. Because again, I don't think they're good enough to take multiple things away at this point, and barely good enough to take one thing away.
But in the same way that I said I thought Daniels was way better in the second half and was awesome in the second half. Because remember, the first half, baked into the Daniels conversation, has to be, they burned 2 timeouts on the opening drive.
Yeah,
I've never seen that in my life. They also had 5 false starts in the red zone in this game and a bunch of like pre-snap procedural stuff. And maybe not all of that is on him. Some of that's expected when you have a young quarterback, obviously. But I thought as the game went on, they got a lot better and cleaned up their act. Defensively, they did to an extent as well. 4 drives for the Giants in the second half of the game. They fumbled, and that was a play that the defense made.
That was a play, yeah.
With St. Houston Chin. Then they had to punt. Then they scored a touchdown and turned it over on downs, albeit on a drop. But it looks a lot different when you get the big takeaway, when you force a punt. But they'll go into this week still, Danny, ranked near the bottom in a bunch of categories, obviously, because it hasn't been good so far. It's frankly been stunningly not good.
Yeah, and you'll be buoyed by the fact you play the Giants, who are going to struggle to score some points on a lot of people, I think, as you saw there in week number one. Tampa Bay's a good offense. We knew that then, and we know that now, especially after what they did in week number two against Detroit. But yeah, I don't know where the fix is coming. I don't know that there is one, frankly, especially with some of these teams that are coming to town.
But I am thrilled for you guys, first of all, the fans, and those of you that paid the money and were out at the stadium and wanted to leave happy with a win. You got one, finally. And I'm also pumped up for Peters and Quinn and Daniels and all of the new faces here in Washington, D.C. that got their first W. So it is a victory Monday on Grant and Danny. They are 1-1, and they are on to Cincinnati for Monday Night Football a week from tonight. Let's do this next. We always start our show this way. Game balls for the best, gassers for the worst from yesterday's win against the Giants. You're listening to Grant and Danny on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I didn't think Chris Myers was going to say anything for the very little while there.
You're doing bits over there, Chris Myers.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. The Commanders walk-off winners on a 30-yard field goal from Austin Seibert. Automatic Austin, good from 27, 45, 26, 27, 29, 33, and 30 yards as the Commanders overcome an 0-for-6 in the red zone and win a football game. Now, the red zone is going to be a big talking point, I'm sure. But I'll tell you what I will take every single week. I will take 425 net yards on offense and 6.2 per play. I will take 215 rushing net. I will take 37 minutes and 32 seconds time of possession. Because as amazing it is that the defense struggled the way that it did, as rested as they were,
yeah.
That's how you win a football game with a bad defense. Don't let them take the field. Keep them on that bench. You see that bench over there?
Sit right there.
That's where I want you.
You stay right over there.
And that's what they did. Ball controlled, short, safe passes, the RPOs, the screen game, protecting the football for a second straight week. Daniels did not turn the football over. For young quarterback, a big, big deal. That was the formula.
So you are 100% right in the sense that this is the tightrope they have to walk. Right. Where you go to the red zone 5 or 6 times. I can't remember which one it was. You're going to end up with one touchdown, sometimes two, God forbid. Even if you're bad in the red zone, which Kingsbury's offenses have been historically, he has not been a good red zone coordinator there's a million reasons for that. I don't know all of them. But I will say that that's a historical trend line and something to watch. Warren Sharp put that in his big behemoth football preview, and that's kind of something I had circled, was how does the red zone go here? You would think having a weapon like Jaden Daniels to help you run it sometimes, or some of that read option action might help. You saw that big play right before Austin Seibert kicked that game-winning field goal was, you know, it was a good read option moment. So you think maybe they'll be better in that regard than they've been historically, but that's still something that has to bear out. But long and short, I will take every metric you just said, because that's their best chance to win. Their defense is not getting a ton better. I don't think there's a savior there. So the best way to have them play decently, or whatever you want to call it, is to not have them play. You know what I mean? Is to keep that football for as long as possible.
0-6 in the red zone, 0-3 in goal to go. Almost as maddening as 0-6 in the red zone offensively is on fourth down. Excuse me, not on fourth down. In the red zone defensively, I should say. They allowed 3 touchdowns to the Giants on 3 trips, knowing they didn't have a field goal kicker. I don't know that that necessarily makes it easier to get a stop, but my point is you can play this differently. You can make sure, let's let them do whatever they got to do, but they're not going to get into the end zone when they get into the red area and high and low red zones because they don't have a kicker. And we saw their punter miss an extra point already. 0-3 in goal to go, Giants were 1-for-1. They just couldn't force them to have to try to even decide if they wanted to kick a field goal without a kicker, which made it that much more frustrating, I thought. But let's go to the game balls that we'll give out to the best, gassers to the worst from yesterday's first win of the season against the Giants.
Jaden Daniels deserves a game ball here. Growth as a passer. 0 turnovers. We're going to start talking about this here as the show progresses, but passing is down league-wide. 14 guys yesterday of the 30 quarterbacks that played did not throw for 200 yards in a football game. Gone are the days, seemingly, of 400 yards, 4 touchdowns, and you know, Peyton Manning setting a record and Drew Brees breaking it the next day. We are in a down passing moment. So he ranks top 10 in a couple categories. He's had the best start of any of the rookies that are playing at this point. And I thought there was legit growth
quite
yesterday.
Quite a distinction.
Well, yeah, one is more than zero. Still, it is a factor. What the rest of the league is doing, I think, is critically important when we're talking about a player. And Daniels is off to a good start. I thought his best half was the second half yesterday.
Yeah, I thought the first half was a mess. Not him necessarily, but the offense, largely with the penalties and the timeouts and everything. And I thought it was a continuation of the Bucs game, which was C-minus, you know, C, whatever you want to call it. I thought he was very good in the second half of the game. So to me, he's played 8 quarters, you know, 4 halves. He's had one excellent half, and it won them the game yesterday largely. But I thought he was really, really good after halftime because he was a passer first. He was an NFL quarterback standing in the pocket, making throws. He could run if he needed to, and he ripped a couple of those off. But I thought that was kind of the first half of football that looked like, to me, what is the dream when you draft him number 2 overall. But not turning the ball over, to your point. You know, I don't care about passing yards through 2 weeks or where he ranks or anything like that. You know, they throw a lot of screens. They get a lot of yards after the catch. I care about things like, are you making the right decision as to throw it away, take the sack? Are you going to protect yourself or not? And we'll get into that. He took a shot. But I thought yesterday, by and large, that was less of a storyline. Funny to say when he missed a snap, because we'll get into that. But I didn't think it was as big of a deal. It wasn't a 16-carry game. Speaking of carries, though, one guy that did have 16 carries, Brian Robinson. 17 rushing attempts for 133 yards. Brian Robinson, a career day. He had never had a 30-yard run. He did it twice yesterday. Longest run of his career, most yards in his career. He made a comment after the game like, yeah, it's been a long time since I got 17 carries. He got 17 carries a third of the time last year. I don't really know what his point was there, but here's my point. With Jaden Daniels in that backfield scaring the daylights out of a defensive coordinator, scaring everyone on the field, Brian Robinson's about to have the best year of his career, and he was awesome yesterday.
Austin Ekeler, more. We just need more. He leads the team in receiving yards, second on the team, rather, in receptions. He had pretty good rushing totals yesterday, 8 for 38, overshadowed, of course, by what Brian Robinson did with some of those explosive runs, but he was effective when he had the football in his hands, per usual. This right now is their best offensive weapon. You can't overdo it, because, you know, you run the risk of him wearing down and not being the same guy in a few weeks or months, etc., but it's hard for me to imagine them having better options on offense right now than Austin Ekeler.
Zach Ertz, 4 catches for 62 yards, led the team. He's second on the team in receiving yards through 2 games. I think he's their number one receiver for the short term here. In terms of, he'll be their most targeted guy. He's the guy that can stretch the field. Daniels completed his first couple balls of 20 or more yards this season yesterday, and they were both to Ertz. One was on that kind of 50-50 ball near the sideline when he stood in, took a shot, made a throw. The other was a really nice job by him coming off of his what looked to be his primary, seeing Ertz wide open at the second level, kind of lobbing a ball over a linebacker for 20. No one was around him. He rumbled for 4 and fell forward. 4 and 62, though, I think that's not only sustainable. I'd like to see more of it. Work the middle of the field. Involve Zach Ertz. Take advantage of having a big catch radius, a weapon, a guy who can box defenders out. There's no reason he shouldn't be able to give you 6 for 70 most weeks. I believe when we fast forward a month from right now, if he's healthy, he'll be their leader in catches and yards the way things are developing for this offense.
Go 7 for 7 to get yourself a game ball. Austin Seibert, congratulations, dude. That's pretty cool. A guy that didn't know if he was going to work again in the NFL, maybe ever, or this season, or whatever. Just off his couch, probably at some local high school, kicking it by himself. Really, really cool. Steps in an NFL game, a divisional game, a home opener for a team that ends up coming down to your foot an awful lot. You go 7 for 7. Wasn't 60 yarders, wasn't into some crazy wind or anything like that, but every kick that you had to make, you made it. 7 field goals is a big deal.
I'll go one more. Benjamin St. Juste forced the first takeaway of the season on a punch fumble, the old peanut punch. Had 3 pass breakups as well. I thought he played very, very well. We'll get you some gassers, make some guys run some laps next, and then we want to hear from you. Your calls at 800-636-1067 on Grant and Danny. The Commanders beat the Giants 21-18. You're giving a game ball to the best and a gasser to the worst right here on The Fan. Giving out game balls to the best and gassers to the worst. We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan. Thank you for making the show part of your day. We're taking you up to 6:30 tonight. We've got a show announcement you'll want to hear coming your way about 12 minutes from right now at the top of the hour at 3 o'clock. We've given out our game balls. How about a couple of gassers before we hit the phones? How about Michael Davis at cornerback? He got benched because Malik Nabers was shaking him out of his shoes over and over again. Nabers is really good. By the way, 18 targets yesterday. The Giants know what they're doing. Get that guy the football.
If I'm going to go down, I'll go down like that.
10 for 127 and a touchdown for Nabers against Washington. Many of those catches and yards coming against Davis before they went to Noah Igbinoghene did not go well for him. He also missed a tackle on the opening touchdown of the game, dove at the feet of Devin Singletary. Just a play he'd like to have back. There were several of those, I thought.
My front four. My starting defensive line. Where? Where are we? Where's my pressure? Where's my disruption? Where's my chaos? Where's my occasional play being made at some point, any point? The occasional TFL, that's allowed. I understand sometimes you got to hold the point of attack and let the Luvus or the Wagners or somebody else come knife through and make a play, but it wasn't like those were happening a ton either. Where is my chaos? Where is my Pro Bowl talents playing like Pro Bowl talents, a.k.a. showing up on the highlight reel with a post-sack dance or some sort of pass batted down? Not much effect on that game yesterday.
Whoever wants to take the blame for 10 penalties for 70 yards, this
you
is
can
not
do that.
The
yeah.
discipline that I was told that the Commander way was going to be. It's early, but I need to get rid of pre-snap stuff. 5 false starts all in the red zone were crippling. And 10 penalties overall is probably like 7 more than I'd like to have and 5 more than what is even reasonable. Twice as many as should happen. Let's go to Chris and Brandywine on Grant and Danny. Who gets your game ball? Who gets your gasser from a 21-18 win over the G-Men?
Hey, gentlemen, I'm going to call audible to what I said to your producers. I'm going to give a game ball to Noah Brown. Noah Brown had 3 receptions, 56 yards, and he's averaging 18.7 since he got here. Give that guy the ball more. Now, for Gasser, I'm going to go with Joe Witt because Jamin Davis was a healthy scratch, and he was the one that got sacked last game. Why did they take him out? There's no reason. We don't know why.
Well, he had a TFL for -4, to be clear. Cleveland Farrell had the only sack last week. He had the only sack this week. He's got two sacks. Both of those are kind of mop-up sacks, though, mm-hmm. on Daron Payne plays, where Payne is actually kind of responsible for blowing it up. But Farrell's the only guy on the team that's got a sack at this point. And, by the way, that's dead last. Two sacks through two games. Washington is tied for worst in the league in that area. Chris is in Hyattsville on Grant and Danny. Game ball and Gasser.
Definitely big game ball to B-Rob and Jaden Daniels. Gasser to Cliff Kingsbury for having the worst red zone offense I've ever seen. I also blame a lot of that. If you're getting a lot of pre-snap penalties, change the play calling type. Stop going shotgun. And because, you know, it was every offensive lineman, not just one. So it was obviously a systemic problem.
That's a good point.
Thank you, buddy.
Cosme had two. Allegretti had one. And Lucas had one. So three specific linemen. Sinnott had the other. But, I mean, four different guys had the five penalties for Washington. As far as not going shotgun, the whole league's in shotgun. You know, these young quarterbacks that play their whole college careers in shotgun, like Daniels, are going to be in it 80 plus 90% of the time. So I don't worry about that as much.
I'd love to have a mix instead of only being in one thing. But in general, I think it's a good point about it wasn't just one guy couldn't get the cadence right or something. It was systemic.
I should say to a couple of callers ago, I wrote down Jamin Davis's name. We'll come back to that because I actually early next hour want to talk about him being a healthy scratch. That was pretty shocking
mm-hmm.
after he made a couple of nice plays in the run game a week ago to the caller's point. Let's go to Jay in D.C. on Grant and Danny. You're live on The Fan. What's up, Jay?
What's up, you guys?
Hey,
I forgot to talk about Nick Bellore as a what do you call it? Like a terrible player, basically. He
what's the term for that?
You mean a gasser? Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah, gasser. That's what I meant. The only thing he's supposed to do is special teams, and he took that touchdown away from us. I love my boy Austin Eckler going all the way. And if you're gonna talk about taking Gano's hamstring injury away, you're gonna have to give us that touchdown. So like you gotta give us that touchdown. In my book, Austin Eckler gets a game ball. That's a touchdown in my book. That's all that matters. And I'm giving my other game ball to Luvu. That dude was all over the place today. And then also just really quick, Jamin Davis, he's like our fifth DN. They needed another D tackle. That other guy that they put in isn't a DN. He's a D tackle. He played D tackle the whole time. So if he's your fifth DN, it doesn't make sense to actually put him in the game.
There's some truth to that, He's still listed as a defensive end, and they got Johnny Newton back, who played a dozen snaps. So they really elevated two defensive tackles, theoretically, in that regard, against a team that was primarily going to spread you out and try to get the ball to neighbors anyway. It's not even as much about arguing whether or not he should have been active or not. It's more revealing and just telling as to he played one game. It's hard not to view what happened as some type of referendum on the one game that they saw since they got here of Jamin Davis. We did not mention Bellore in the first segment or in the Gassers, but he obviously gets one.
Yeah.
Two special teams penalties.
Get your name called, young man.
Debut with the team, former Pro Bowl linebacker with Larry Izzo. Having said all of that, you know, better days ahead, I'm sure. That's too bad for our guy, Austin Eckler. He'll be on the show tomorrow at 5. We got Jay Gruden today at 5. But Eckler rips off a kick return. Everyone's beating up on these, you know, the new kickoff rules.
Uh-huh.
We had a touchdown last week. We would have had a touchdown again in the NFL, this time for the Commanders this week, and it came back. I saw Eckler in the locker room. I'm like, you know, I would have preferred that your return not have been called back via penalty. He's like, oh, really? He's like, me too. It was just funny.
Yeah, it's just how I feel about it.
And he goes, I also would have preferred that we scored at least one touchdown in the game. It was a good line. But I look forward to talking to him tomorrow.
It'd be great.
Who gets your game ball? Who gets your gasser? Those are the questions for you on G&D. Next, Jamin Davis deactivated. We'll dive into that in our big show announcement right at the top of the hour. You don't want to miss on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.